rising, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to this podcast, I like to say welcome. This is Thoughts of a Black Girl. I know. I have fell to the wayside when it comes to being consistent, when it comes to being dedicated. I can transparently come and be apologetic in the fact that my listeners, the ones that have come on here faithfully and been part of since the beginning, since 2018, my podcast, my journey, the things that I've talked about, the way that I have conveyed communication, the way that I've conveyed my thoughts to you all, I appreciate my day ones. I do, and it sounds so cliche to say appreciating my day ones when I have not been consistent, when I have not been posting or talking about or even getting into some of the conversations and some of the things that have been going on. Literally, there is no excuse except other than life has been lifing, okay? Things have been happening left and right. If anything, I would have done you all a favor by at least journaling and then recapping to you all the steps, all the things that have transpired. So I know that I have posted since the year has started. So I do want to clap and give myself kudos for at least attempting that far, right? At least going to that extreme to at least give you something this year as the year has started. But now we're spring. Now it's springing forth. Now anything behind us is behind us. The things from the past can no longer hold a weight against you on this day and this day going forward, or any day, right, that you wake up, have air, breathe, be thankful, and have gratitude for what you have in your current circumstance, where you are in your current being. And that's in itself a lot to be grateful and thankful for, right? So for me, I have been in a transition period. We just had the eclipse a few weeks ago, and I believe that as some astronomers and astrologers have said, and I'm not trying to go all astrologic here, but they have said things, right, where an eclipse can be like in ancient history or ancient religions would look upon as the death and rebirthing. Right? Things that, and you can kind of see the symbolism in that, how the sun goes covered into black where it doesn't happen very often, right? And then it's anew again once it's uncovered by the moon, right? So that whole transition period where it's a totality covered and then it's uncovered, which in a lot of means, I can see and understand and understand the symbolism in that. And so, I also, in my own life, have tried to take an account for trying to reinvent who I am, trying to reinvent myself. So, I heard someone say, and this episode actually is going to be about relationships, if I get to it. But I heard someone say the other day, how the millennials and the Gen Zs are considered like the most depressed and highly saddened and highly depressed generations of time ever. And I mean, of course, we can't go back to prior biblical times, you know, or ancient times. We weren't alive in those times. But as we are living now, right, through the generations that are still alive and realizing the transition period, I really see fit and see and understand what he's saying, what this particular gentleman online was saying on his live. So this particular gentleman, and I can't quote his name, I was just kind of scrolling, like if you're on social media, like all of us tend to do sometimes, and or all the time, right? Depends on who you are and how much time you have. But this particular gentleman was stating the fact that he, and by the way, I am doing my podcast in my car today. I have done that several times throughout the year, throughout the years, and I find this to be a, it's almost like a car diary, car journal time, a car reflection time when I am able to come on here and talk to you all, even from my car. We've been in places, we've been in my closet, we have been in my bedroom, we have been in my car, we have been at the park, you know, we have been in podcast studios. So I have, this journey has been, and you all have been a part and have taken, and if you're new here, welcome, and I hope that you stay. And I hope that you get something from what I'm saying, even if it's just another topic that you can regurgitate and talk to, or a conversation or topic that you can bring up to someone else. I'm all for that as well. You know, I definitely don't want to gatekeep any information or anything or any of my thoughts when it comes to information and things that I want or would like to discuss with my listeners. So, okay, so anyway, this particular gentleman was stating how Generation X, right, and, well, not Generation X, I take that back, I believe he said Gen Z and Millennials, right? So anyone, and I believe the Millennials, and he did make sense. He said the government and some of the people in politics are talking about Millennials as if they're still kids, where, or still young, whereas Millennials, the oldest Millennials, are in their 40s. And he's right. I'm not 40 yet, but I'm coming up into my 40s, right? I'm in my late 30s. So, and I'm saying goodbye to 30s, right? So we're coming out of our, this millennials are us as millennials. If you're listening and you're a millennial, you were taught to go to college, get it, all you have to do is to go to the next level is go to college, right? You go to school, get an education, and what with that education, get a great or good job, and with that good job, you'll be set, whatever, right? What, all those things. And in that transition, we went from CD-ROMs, right, or CD Walkmans to MP3s, and then MP3s to, like, digital music platforms. Like, we have really rode the wave of technological advancement. We went from pagers, right, to cell phones, right, to headphones, to, like, now we got AirPods and all kind of stuff. So the technological advancement from Johnny Five watching, and if you were, if you know Johnny Five, like, that was my favorite robot when I was a kid. I watched that, right? So I've seen the transition from the age to now, right? And he was stating, and it made it so clear, and he was right on, that the millennials and the Gen Zs have information overload. We have information overload, technological advancements, the social media, all these things that we have went through these times, and the things that we were told as children that we tried to apply to our lives did not help. It left us stagnant, because a lot of times now, those that are getting a college education, or those that have had a college education, matter of fact, I'm living proof. I have multiple degrees And what had happened when I got out of college was the fact that, and I tried to buy a house and start my life as the American way, right? I had college debt that outweighed my income, so my debt to income ratio did not qualify me to be able to buy a house. And so what this gentleman said, and I found this, when I did have a credit score to buy a house or to get a mortgage loan, I didn't have the income to outweigh what I wanted to, what I needed to buy to get a house. And by the time that the income got to where it needed to be, my credit or whatever might not have been where it needed to be. It was always an off balance. And to this day, and he said it right on, like, most millennials, if they haven't bought a house, it's getting, the inflation and everything has gotten so bad that if you're especially single millennial, the odds of you not getting out of a stagnation is very difficult. We're still teetering on trying to get it together, and we sure are. Right now, I had resigned from my position as a teacher. Now, this was a very difficult situation for me. I had ran into the very thing that I left the government for originally, right? I talked about being led by passion and following and giving back. And I also did not want to get into the extra politics. Well, it ended up being extreme politics in the education system. I tried to give back, but I wasn't on board and could not join the bandwagon of the new administration that came in that was all about the numbers and looked at the students as just that, right? I have too much care and passion. That's why I have a youth and organization. And when I wasn't on board with some of the implementation and the rules, they were like, you know what? I don't want to deal with it. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with it, I guess, at this point either. And let's just part ways. Which I learned a valuable lesson. You either jump on the bandwagon or you jump off if you're not in agreement with what's going on and the moves going forward. And I really wasn't in total agreement. I'm a boss. So, and also, I mean, even being a servant leader and being a boss, what I have found in that situation and what I can speak on being a black woman, and this is Thoughts of a Black Girl, when black women are in power, some that are, especially those, not to speak against those that are sororities or those that have MBAs or higher, but when black women get in power, a lot of times they take that power to their heads, meaning they are on a power trip. They have to exercise the power. Now, I understand you have to exert a certain level of excellence. You have to exert yourself to a certain level because not only are people wanting you to fail, right? Secretly wanting you to fail. Secretly, you have to have that additional masculinity as a boss, right? To exert yourself in a way where people don't play no games with you. Or even when you don't want people to play games with you, you have to exert yourself in a mannerism that you know that those that transpire against you, because not only are you black, right, you're a woman. So not only are you a black, but you're a woman and black woman, right? And not only are you a black woman, you're a black woman in America. So I get how hard and how extra we as powerful black women may have to fight and exert ourselves and prove ourselves. But the problem I fear that I see is the fact that when multiple black women are in the room, someone always seems to have to be the boss, be the one heard. Instead of uplifting each other and trying to let us all eat, let us all win, let us all be to that next level, there's always one that wants to say, I'm the head Negro in charge. I'm the one that, I'm the boss. I'm the one that's leading here. You're to do what I say. And if you go against what they say, because you're just as smart, they want to do things to belittle you, or they get jealous of you, or you have something that they may not have had, or they don't want you to succeed past them, right? And I hate that for our community, that the Black community will hold such haste and such judgment and such jealousy against one another, which instead of helping and rising up, they will belittle. And the higher they get, the more whitewashed, and sorry if you're listening, but more whitewashed they get as well, where they will turn on their own just to make sure they stay in their position. All right? And so I witnessed that full on happen right before my eyes within a few months within the school. I didn't even make it through the first semester with the new administrator. And so, and the thing is, I could say it now, and she kept coming for me and coming for me, and there was mentions and there's little mistakes that I've made, but there was no grace when there, she said there was grace. It wasn't great, no grace, because there was constant coming at me. Constant. I'm trying to do what I've been doing, what it to excel and succeed these, you know, my students, and she kept coming for me to the point where I was gonna file grievances. I had students talking about petitions and how I should have said something, and I didn't say anything. I let her bully me right on out. And so the craziest part is, you're supposed to have representation, and I want to say something and then I'm going to let this go, but my representation was a union rep, a white man, and he said, I'm going to speak to you about something, and he's supposed to be representing me against another Black woman, right? And he said, I couldn't say anything. There was nothing I could say. All I did was sit back, because all I seen was two educated, powerful Black women going back and forth, and I just had to raise my hand like, I don't, right? What can a white man do in a situation when two Black females who are supposed to be fighting for each other in a situation where there are little Black representation in education, and even more teachers dwindling, but because I get my pay intimidated you, because the fact that I had a voice intimidated you, in fact I wasn't jumping on your bandwagon, intimidated you, even the union rep was intimidated by our by the conversation, so he wasn't even able to represent me correctly. So I was just like, you know what, at this point, so I'm like, at this point, everyone is going to go for what they deem to be their boss, or that person in power, or I want to see this person in power because, right, this person is temporary, this person is new, and this person's going to lead in the old school way that we're used to. This person has a new obstructed, you know, millennial way of doing things. Let's stick with the old ways of how we've done things and old school, and get things done as we used to back in the day. And that's fine. I just wasn't jumping on the bandwagon. It was too old school for me. I'm new school. So I go continue to apply myself in ways that I need to. And as I transition out, it was hard. And then I'm still having students reach out to me wondering if I'm going to do some of the other impactful things. But being that my livelihood, my finances, and everything was affected by someone trying to exert their power over me, I have to focus on getting that back together, getting it straight, getting it, you know, aligned back where it needed to be to fit the lifestyle that I am accustomed to, and making sure that my household is running smoothly as I am the woman of my house, right? And there isn't a man there. And so having to focus on that has caused me not to be able to focus on the other things that I normally would, like my thoughts of a black girl, like my youth explosion, like the things that I was doing for the community when I first got to the community. So now that I'm in transition, I am now trying to do the things, getting back to like this, my podcast, right? Getting back to trying to align things so that I can again focus on the youth explosion and get finances back in order as far as revenue coming in from my small businesses and from the things that I would like to do for the community. Speaking of small businesses, I have started a small business called Straight Biz, where in that business, a lot of the things that I would talk about when I first started this podcast, a lot of the financial segments and the money minute and things that I would talk about, I am actually doing that and going forth with that as a business. So I'm helping businesses that are wanting to start, people who want to start businesses, who are serious about starting businesses, who may not want to or may need the guidance to ensure that they're going about starting their business the correct way. The School of YouTube is all good, right? But then someone who's actually done the walk, has actually done the services, or can set up the services for you, you may need someone to walk you through that process, or you just may not want to do it yourself and you just want to know somebody who knows what they're doing to do it. I'm helping those businesses. If you're wanting to start an LLC or an S corporation, I can help you with those startups, starting startups and new ventures. Same as if you're interested in having a 501c nonprofit, if you're wanting to start that and you need help with the bylaws, you need help with setting up your board members, things like that, I can help you with that process. There's other services that I added that I have not exploited or marketed yet, but there are things like bookkeeping that I'm going to start ensuring that I promote. I definitely am a finance major, so there are bookkeeping and things that need to be done so that when the end of the year or your quarterly taxes, however you've set up your business, can be done efficiently and effectively. So bookkeeping and things like that, I am offering those services. So if you're interested in those services, go to straightbiz.com, book a consultation. Let's figure out what it is that you want for your business or you need for your business, or if you're already running a business and you want to make sure your financials are good. Set up a consultation, 30 minutes, $25, and we'll talk about it. All right? We can talk about it. And I believe and know that you will get valuable information. There's a few times I've had consultations and I've had to scale back. You know, I have this podcast. You know, if you've been listening for a while, you know, I love to give out information. I love to talk and I communicate. So I have given such valuable information on some of my consultations that people don't even want. Like, it's not that they don't want to, they don't even feel the need or value of booking my services any further after the consultation, because I gave so much valuable nuggets and information that they're good to go forward without me. That's how valuable the information was. So now I'm scaling back a little bit, but I'm still going to give the information. And the reason I'm scaling back, not so that I can hold and gatekeep, but I have a life
right? And my time is valuable. Things that I give, I know is valuable. So in order to be treated and like a business and paid and done fairly, to treat myself fairly, I know that I can't over give, because there are people, and it tends to be the people that like to overtake, right, that will come in the midst and end up taking advantage of those situations. All right. So anyway, what I wanted this segment to be on, right, what I came on here for, I had to give y'all backdrop a little bit of what I have been going through. If you have questions or want me to elaborate, please feel free, toabginc@gmail.com, or drop your comments, questions, definitely on this podcast. There is parts of Spotify and different things that you can be able to interact. On top of that, someone, just to even make it clear, someone is charging. Someone posts my podcast and on their website, not just mine, others too, post my podcast on their websites and charge people as a subscription so they can listen to my podcast. So they can, and I'm like, how are they capitalizing and making money, right? How are they doing that off of me? I should be getting a percentage or a piece of whatever they're making. But, you know, that's for another day. I'll do some research on it anyway. So anyway, on top of everything else that I've talked about, I wanted to discuss the bashing of the Black woman that has been happening, right? The fact that we have these passport bros, we have these people that create content on a daily basis. We have men creating content on a daily basis for the attention, and the attention that they're creating the content on, the attention that they're trying to get, is the fact that Black women, they consider Black women to be at the bottom of the totem pole. I don't even want to keep saying that. Like, I've said that, and like, it is like distasteful to even say that as a Black woman, that I would be at the bottom of someone's totem pole. I don't care where someone feels like they would put me, because I value myself first and foremost, because I really appreciate who I am as a person and what I bring, not to the table, but to the community, what I bring as a civilized working adult in America, what I bring into life, what I pour into people, what I give. I think that the value of that is phenomenal. That's like beyond, not diminishing my value anyway by saying I'm a divorcee, not diminishing my value by any means because I'm late 30s, not diminishing my value in any way because I'm Black, not diminishing my value in any way because I'm dark skinned. Let's get to it, right? No, I think it's very small-minded. I think it's minute people who have those mindsets. And that's all energy I'm going to give to that particular thing. But what I wanted to say is the fact that all of this talk about the Black woman being combative, being masculine, not making good wives, wanting this like 6 foot tall, multi-millionaire, fine as wine man, that only encompasses 1%, right, out of the women who encompass 85%, 90%. Like, it's not realistic, right? But then they're saying this man, this knight in shining armor type of man, doesn't even want the Black woman. He wants every nationality, or as soon as a Black man gets into riches, just like they seek after a foreign car, they go after a foreign woman because it's foreign. Because of the, they believe the values. Because they get to be put on a pedestal that they, and don't have to hold themselves accountable for their lack in any way. But let's get to it. What I was saying, and I said I was going to mention it on my podcast, is the black woman is looked upon like that, as a deflection. Our men in our culture are not wanting the women in our culture, and which it is flabbergasting. You know, I'm flabbergasted by the fact that these men don't want their own, which goes into show. And I've heard some very educated black men say that this is part of true unconscious self-hate, and possibly when a black woman goes to outside of her culture, which she is the least to do, ain't that something? The black woman is least to go out statistically to go outside of her own culture and race, and the black man is the most. Ain't that something? Isn't that a mismatch? The woman is the least to go outside the culture, and the black man is the most, is race statistically more prone to go outside of any other culture, any other race, more prone to go outside theirs. Isn't that something? And let me not get it twisted. Not black people in general. I'm not talking about Nigerians or Haitians or Jamaicans. No, I am talking about Black America. I'm talking about Black American men. And yes, it could be part of self-conscious, unconscious self-hate due to programming, due to, nothing but programming and the programming of their parents and generations before, because let's not get that our grandparents, there were grandparents, I know of some, I have some in my own family, that would literally, and they affected my uncles, because none of them dated, procreated within their own race, and literally would tell them, like, dark skin is ugly, or make sure, you know, you date fair, right? Because they have that self-hate because of what they went through as their as children, because of the civil rights movement and all those things. They were programmed and washed into believing that white was right, all right? And so this programming, this mindset has definitely dwindled into the generations, and now we have what we have, where I have cousins that are mixed, their mamas are white, and then they never seen their dad, my uncle, this is a date black at all. He's only dated white. So then my cousins date white, right? So not only, and I'm just saying it as a cultural racial to what we're really providing and what we're really putting back into our community, and how you get rid of a race, how you get rid of a culture, or still a culture, because that's what it is, still a culture. And so then my cousins will date outside their race, right? So then not only do they get a white woman and their mom is white, because of course they're gonna be attracted to who their dad and brought at who their mom is, who they want someone to look like who their mom is a lot of times, right? Except when it's a black woman. When it's a black woman, they're trying to find someone who doesn't look like their mom and aunties. I don't know what that's the unconscious self-hate. When a white woman is glorified. So then they're finding this mixed boy going after a white woman because his dad was going after a white woman, right? So then they have kids. Them kids are extremely, you possibly can still see that they have, that they're black or they have some black, but the next level generation in that is that child getting with someone white. Three generations of white, and you will not see a trace. You will barely see a trace of their black genes. I don't want to get on how that identity crisis and how we were taken and stolen from Israel and how those people, that's what happened over there. That's why they look like that. They look like that over there. Not going to get into that. But that's what happens. How you get rid of a race or a culture. That's how you do it. Okay. So anyway, going back to the men deflecting the black woman, the stigma and the design and the propaganda in this. The black man most undereducated. Black man most black on black crimes. More than cops on black men. Black men on black men. What the hell is wrong? Black male on black male. The worst. Broken homes. Creating broken homes and thinking it's cool to have several baby mamas. It don't matter what race they are, thinking it's cool to have several baby mamas or not, or being unmarried. I ain't never get married. Oh, but you're gonna have a bunch of kids. That's the issue. That's the issue. So when you have 85% of black men that are, if I may say, ain't about shit, ain't on shit, don't know shit, it ain't doing much, then you got the 15% that may be about something or are about something, are strong, are successful, but out of that 15%, 13 to 14% of them don't even want their own race, don't even appreciate or like their own, and that leaves 1 to 2% for the 85-90% of the women who actually don't date outside their race. What is happening? It looked upon because the black woman has to hold that man accountable because the other cultures are able to be softer and more feminine. Oh, that's because they don't have to fight for the right to be. Right? They have protection on all means. Police protection. White men protection. In other cultures, protection. Not slandered by all cultures. Literally, slandered by all cultures. No, that's not what no other race, no other but the black woman, a black American woman, would be. So it's like, what are we doing? What are we actively doing to combat that? What are we actively doing to get it together so that we are thriving in a unison, as a culture, like other cultures thrive? We can't keep saying we don't have a culture, we don't have a, because I see daily on social media people, and I would say jocking, but I don't know if that's the right term. The younger generations, the Gen Zs and the Alpha generations say being a peon. I mean, in layman terms, copying, taking a lot of things from us. Our soul food, how we dress, how we talk, our swag, all of that. All the cultures all over the world take that from Black America and try to say Black America don't know who they are, don't have a culture, don't have that. We have, we do, we've made it. And everybody takes it. Everybody likes it. Everybody's attracted to it. And everybody tries to then bash us. It's crazy. And so, what I'm wanting to get to the point at this point in my life, on at this point, even on this podcast, is to be clear, to be transparently clear that there's a problem and we need to fight and we need to work together, fight for our rights as a culture together, keeping the Black family together, keeping that strong unit. And it's not even keeping it, it's like getting back to how is dating? What is the dating life going to be like? You have women with these unrealistic expectations. I've been that one. I've made the mistake of not fighting for the, not looking at my family unit as a pillar in society. Look, creating and focusing on the wrong things. Not realizing, oh my gosh, girl, you got a great Black man. He's a provider. There's a lot of men, all different cultures, that aren't providing correctly. He's a leader. He's strong. He wants the best. He might not be going about things the right way. Then talk to him, help him, got help, and y'all come together and be and do the things this way. I'm focused on who you got in your phone, where you going, what you doing, why is this going on, da 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 da, right? And was willing to break up the family for that because it didn't align to what I wanted at that time or what I thought that I ne wanted it, things to look like. Do I regret it? I can't not live my life with regrets because I have to learn live my life as lessons and learning. Yes, I learned from that situation. Yes, I look at things if given the opportunity to create a family with a man again at this age, which to me sounds like far and in between or like a diamond in the rough, doesn't really sound probable for me, but I'm also taking that reality. I don't look at it like it's probable, but I look at it as if I'm giving that opportunity again, how I'm, and if the caliber of man is at the level or even greater. Even greater, I mean, I'm gonna be falling on my hands and knees like, God, what did I do to deserve even greater? But even to match the level, I'm like, because now I'm meaning, I'm seeing the dating pool. Now I'm seeing the mentality of men. Oh, like it's poor. It's not good. So it's like to get the caliber of man that I as and use my husband as a pillar, not my ex-husband as a pillar, not a pillar of like, oh, he was the best or whatever, but there, as far as benchmark, there are benchmark things that men are just simple things that I that being with this one man my entire adult life, I'm looking at simple things that men don't have. The compassion to be compassionate, giving, providing. Like there was things that I thought I was lacking, I could find better. And that's when they say the grass is not greener on the other side, but the grass is greener where you water it. Because just the basic things that I thought was basic for him is not basic for men. It's not basic for men. So I have to not only see that, and then have the expectation of getting greater than what's not already a standard for most men. Oh gosh, I don't even see myself being able to be, I don't even see myself being married or being able to go further with a man. If it's like the majority of the ones that I've come across, they're not even at the standard of what I'm used to. And so I'm just like flabbergasted on what we're dealing with truly as a community. And so for me, I'm like, wow, did I make a mistake? One of my friends used to joke and was like, you didn't fight for your ex-husband. You let that woman steal your man. You let your that woman steal your super Negro. That's what my friend would call him, a super Negro. And I didn't realize, but I guess he is, because there is not many. I have not met many, far and in between, that are at the level. Yes, there's masculine men. Yes, there's men that say they're providers, but they're either not giving, they're cheap, and especially they're not chivalrous, right? They lack chivalry. It's a whole slew of things. And I never really took an account. I never really looked at it. I never really dissected it until I got to the point where I started like, okay, maybe I'll be open to dating now, I've kind of got my mind wrapped around what I want to do. I know what I want. I know what I like. Yeah, but now I'm in my late 30s. Like, I didn't know it at 20, but I was with the same man from 20 to 30. So it's like, how do you know? How do you really know? Unless you get out here and you realize, oh shit, there ain't nothing out here. Or, oh man, they're far and in between. And the men that are like the man that I had are taken. They're definitely taken. And if they're not taken, they have these narcissistic views of how they're the gift. How they're the gift. And so it's just like, what do I really do at this point? So what I can do is help others. All I can do is help someone else. Helping myself, I have plenty of opportunities to help myself. And at this point, it's like, if God, I'm even like saying this talk, and I thought to a black girl, but I'm like, am I willing to date outside my race? Because at this point, a man is going to treat me r well, as I expect to be treated. Is going to love me and appreciate me and be successful and be giving and be masculine. Might not even be in my culture. And that's a shame to say. May not even be in my race. Like, that's really disappointing. It makes me sad. But however, what we can do as a people, what we can do as a culture, what we can do as black people is find work on our inner selves, work on ourselves, work on who we are as a people individually, trying to make strides and trying to raise the kids, the young boys and the young women out here, young girls out here, in a mannerism where they have someone to look up to, they have real standards, they set real goals, and we get to the point where we can be proud of each other and love one another and really want to procreate and keep our race together, not genocide our own race, not be part of the propaganda against our people, not be part of trying to get rid of or whitewash the true Israelites, the true chosen ones. Like, I know that it's kind of hard to fathom, but we are, a lot of us in the Black America are chosen people, are the chosen people that have been stripped of our identities and being given a cult identity, being given a history, being given what we, what, and all true power had been taken. Because when, if you don't want someone to be in power, don't tell them who they are. Don't allow them to know who they truly are. And now, and then the repercussions of that is what we have today. And hopefully we can get it together. I mean, I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. I mean, I don't even think, like they say, it's not possibly racist. But, I mean, if you're black, I don't know. I guess I could argue that because you can be against certain different races. I'm kind of open. Am I into multiracial dating? And I mean, to each his own. I really I try not to have a big opinion on it, but I do in some cases I do, because who's really going to understand you? Not someone outside of your culture, not someone outside of your tribe, not someone outside of your race. Who's really going to understand what you're going through? If you really want to know who you are, if you really want to make a difference in your community and in your culture and in your race, then you have to embrace it. You embrace who you are. You embrace your people. You stick with your kind. I mean, not, and I'm not saying nothing's wrong with humankind in general. Let's love and be loved, you know, humankind, because we're humans. We have, most of us, unless we're aliens or reptilians or whatever, we got two eyes, a nose, nostrils, fingers. I mean, that stuff, we all bleed, we all shit and piss the same. That's fine. But I'm talking about the trials, the tribulations, the teachings, it's deep, okay? And it's not, and if you ain't a part of it, all you can do is be a spectator of it. And who, why would you want to have a spectator in your camp? Why wouldn't you want to have someone who truly the values, the trenches, the heart, the fight? Why wouldn't you want a thoroughbred? Like, who wouldn't want real? So, and that's what I consider that to be. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, a lot of times we lose sight, and what matters most is the perception or the money or whatever. And I guess that's where we lose sight, because it comes about, like, just all I want is success. And by any means, if that means turning on my people, or like I experienced in even the schools, you know, making sure anyone that's not on board is rooted out, even if they're in the right. Or I don't want this person in power being a problem for me because I'm in power and I want to show that I'm the head Negro in charge, you know, type of deal. It's just like, I believe and have hope for us, and I hope that I haven't offended anyone. My goal wasn't to offend. My goal was more to voice my opinion, voice my concern, speak on topics that have been talked about. And if you have things that you want to bring up and things that you, that this has sparked in you, I would like to share it. I mean, I would invite you even to speak on my podcast, you know, and we can have these conversations. And if your opinion varies from my opinion, or if I've said something wrong, because, you know, I tend to speak, I communicate, I'm a messenger. So if I said something that you're offended by, or that you have some facts on that you want to exemplify on my podcast platform, feel free. I'm open. Reach out to me on my email. I'm you know, my website is no longer at the moment. So you're not going to be able to go to www.thoughtsofablackgirl.com. But a lot of things are in transition. What's meant to be will be. I'm not worried about anything. I'm good. Thoughts of Black Girl is still here. If you have any topics or things that I should elaborate on or things that you would like me to elaborate on, feel free to reach out. Again, my email is up. I do answer that. I will read those emails, toabginc@gmail.com. Other than that, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you. Thank you for being consistent with me. Even if I've been inconsistent, I hope and pray that you have a great and grand day. And until next time, God bless you and peace be with you.